It says here,
19th chapter of the book of Acts, the first verse, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Okay, in this, it says, first of all, that Apollos was here with Paul. Paul used the terms that I plant, Apollos watereth. Later, he let Apollos do the baptizing. And this is a particular instance where he is at the upper coast. You know, just like we would say the sea or the Mediterranean Sea or whatever. Up at the upper coast, he met certain ones. This was Ephesians, apparently, or it was at Ephesus anyway. Or it could have been others that was just passing through. He said they just passed through. It says Paul having passed through, and he met them, and when he began to talk to them about the Lord, he asked them a question. He said, "Have you people received the Holy Ghost?" You know, just like I'd say here at Bethlehem tonight, I'd say, "Have you people received the Holy Ghost? Is there anybody here that has not received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Okay, now you hear me say this so often, so very often you hear me make the statement. I say, a lot of times, I say believing is not enough. The Bible said, if you have not his spirit, you're none of his. Paul said, "Have you received the spirit since you started believing?" They said, "No, we've not heard about the spirit." Then Paul wanted to know one thing. He said, "Under what baptism was you baptized?" Oh, that is, who's been preaching to you and what have they taught you? In other words, how did they teach you to be baptized? This is in water now. A lot of people say, well, it's not important to be baptized and no need to worry about baptism because Paul didn't worry about those things. But if you'll notice, the first thing he asked, he said, if you have not received the infilling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I would like to know how you've been baptized or who's been teaching you how to be baptized. In what way here have you been baptized? What mode of baptism are you using? They said, we've been baptized, but it is under John's baptism. He said, well, said John baptized under repentance. In other words, they said, we've been baptized, all right, but all that we know is John's baptism. They've never taught us anything different. They've taught us that we should be baptized, but it was the way that John baptized. So then he said, John baptized unto repentance. Now that is, he said, John just asked you to repent. Right here is a real close, this is a close-knitted thing in close quarters, and I'm glad that Billy asked about it. See, John baptized, or they were baptized according to John's baptism, which was unto repentance. As I've said a number of times, you could be baptized in the same place Jesus was baptized, by the same man that baptized Jesus. But that wouldn't be sufficient. That wouldn't be sufficient. See, there's a reason for that. The reason is because being baptized does not remit your sins. Being baptized does not remit your sins. Therefore, it doesn't matter how you're baptized, baptism doth not remit your sins. When the Catholic Church baptizes, whether they sprinkle or whether they immerge, and they do both, depends on the rites. But they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, down you go. Up you come. I baptize you in the name of the Son, down you go. And up you come. I baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost, down you go. And up you come. And when they get through, they haven't done anything. But made a statement to you that was not true. That is, they said, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they never did. They never did. Now, to be baptized under repentance, the first thing you got to do is repent. John said, you need to show me some fruits. It's meat for repentance. Let me see something in your life that proves that you've repented. Let me see a change in your life. Show me some fruits of the Spirit here, something that makes me to know that you've repented. Let me see something that I can tell. Whereas we say fruits of the Spirit, really, they couldn't have had fruits of the Spirit. That comes afterwards when you're filled with the Spirit. But there were some things that they could do. And that is, there's a lot of things that God requires of human beings that they themselves can do to show that they have repented. Like turning away from the filth of the flesh, turning away from the things of the world, giving them up, confessing some of their evil things and saying I'm through with it and turning away from it. John said, let me see, let me be sure that you're not just playing a game. So then he said, these have been baptized unto repentance. But John said, now this is a good start, but I'm baptizing you unto repentance. I can't do any more than that. It doesn't give you salvation. It doesn't have anything to do with salvation. I'm just baptizing you unto repentance to set you apart from the people. This is to let everybody know in a public testimony that you've left that out there. But it doesn't give you salvation. It does make you a believer. It does make you a believer. Now, they could not have salvation. There was no way. See, you can't have salvation unless you know where salvation's at. You got to know where salvation's at, and you got to go to that source to get it. And that's the only place that you can get it. I could baptize you like the Catholics over and over, but you wouldn't have salvation because there is no salvation connected with what they did. But if I take one thing, and that is the name of Jesus, then I found where salvation is. The Bible said salvation is in none other name. Somebody said, well, what that means is he died for your sins. It doesn't mean that at all. It means what it says. It says salvation is in the name. It didn't mean that he died for your sins. It means it's in the name. When he said Jesus died for your sins, it's wrote in the Bible that he died for your sins. And you can read it, that it says he died for your sins. But when it says salvation is in the name, people misconstrue that, and they say, well, we that are intellectually brilliant and full of understanding, we know that that means that Jesus died for the sins of the world. It doesn't mean any such thing in that sense. It means one thing, and that is salvation is in a name. And they're not brilliant at all for thinking the way they think, because that's not it at all. It is a true fact that Jesus died for my sins, and that's how salvation got in his name, and that's why his name is given for salvation. All of that we understand, but beyond that, it is a true fact that God has put salvation in a name, and it's J-E-S-U-S, so salvation is in a name. There is salvation in none other name. The Bible teaches that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into the name, and they are saved. That's why you are baptized in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in none other name. So then, when you go to receive salvation or to seek for salvation, you must do one thing. The Bible said, and remission of sin shall be taught in his name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they said, what must we do in that we have done this wrong in crucifying the Lord of glory? Peter said, repent, every one of you. And this is what John done, was baptizing under repentance. He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So then it means one thing, that if God has sent a preacher to remit sin, in that he said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. We go to marry somebody, said, don't let nobody mess with that which I have bound together. If we bind it together, it means God bound it together. If we get up here and speak, it means God has spoke to you. All right, now, the reason for that is because the man that we once was is dead and buried, and the man that we now are is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and it is he that speaketh. So then, if he gives remission of sin by having a minister to do the remitting, and then if remission of sin is in the name of Jesus Christ, then you put the name of Jesus Christ with the man that does the remitting. You've got two parts toward the remission of sin. There's one other. The Bible said to be baptized for the remission of sin. So water is for the remission. Remission is in the name, and the minister does the remitting. So you take the minister that does the remitting, number one, and the water by which sin is remitted, and the name in which remission is in. Put them all three together, and you're baptized for the remission of sins. Now, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you've been baptized? They said, no. Well, we've not even heard whether it be so much as the Holy Ghost or not. Then, no doubt, it struck Paul just like this. Oh, I understand. See, you never have had your sins remitted. You understand what I'm saying? You say, but wait a minute, Brother Pike. You couldn't be a believer and not have your sins remitted. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. Trembles every time he thinks about it. But he don't have his sins remitted. You know why he cannot get his sins remitted? Because remission of sin is in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is what casts out devils. So he can't get near the name Jesus. So then, brethren, it's like this. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. But the way that the blood is applied to our heart through the personification of Christ is through his name. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And the man said to Paul, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of Jesus. If we are buried with him in baptism, we're also resurrected with him in the newness of life. For they that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. All right, there's a spiritual man on the inside that's baptized into the Holy Ghost that puts on Christ. There's a natural man that's baptized into the water that puts on Jesus. And the body becomes bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the inner man becomes the Christ within you, the hope of glory. So there's three phases of baptism. There's the water baptism for the body, in that science teaches that the body is in general composed of water. And when the Bible speaks of people, it speaks of waters. There is a fire baptism which applies to your soul. The Bible said he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. The fire baptism applies to your soul. Fire, in this case, means the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that will purge your soul as fire. And then there is a spirit baptism, which is for your spirit. So it is one baptism, water, blood, and spirit, a three in one. It is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, a three in one. God has so fixed it to where every part of us can completely be cleansed and purged. Because Paul said, I must present you, I desire to present you before God, blameless body, soul, and spirit. So a lot of things that we could say on this tonight. The upper coast of Ephesus, Paul having met these people, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. Under what baptism then were you baptized? We were baptized under John's baptism, under repentance. That is, John baptized them under repentance, saying, believe on the name of Jesus, which is coming, because salvation will be in that name. And I say this again, you can look through the Old Testament, you'll never find any remission of sin in anything. You'll always find, as it is with Moses, saying, the prophet that is to come, whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. So we see here that there is no baptism that is adequate for the purpose and the remission of sin except one, and that is when the name of Jesus Christ is called. You can say, I'll baptize you in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost and stop and bring a person out of the water and tell somebody, say now, what it's the same thing as I baptize you in Jesus' name. It is not the same thing. There's people, a lot of times you get into differences and disputes with them. And they'll say, well, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. It isn't the same thing. Now, if they had been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it would have been the same thing. Because they'd been baptized in the name of Jesus, because that is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's like I told Brother Curley when he was here, we was talking. Some of the others that come here, the brother, the priest from the Catholic Church. See, in Matthew 28, after Judas had committed suicide, after the resurrection, Jesus met the 11 that was left in a mountain, talked to them, and said, all power in heaven and in earth is given to me. Whereas the Bible said the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that is, there's no other body, no other human functioning. So far as the body of the Godhead, he said, all of it's in Jesus. All power is given to me. Whereas the Bible said, God giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure, which not only is the fullness of the body in Jesus, so far as the physical part, but the fullness of the Spirit is in Jesus. For the Bible said, God giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure. And the fullness of the world belongs to Jesus, so far as the natural. For God said that all things were created for him and by him. For his pleasure were they created. And nothing that was created There was nothing created but what it was created by him. So in Matthew 28, he said, all is within me. Go ye therefore, baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He did not say, go ye therefore, baptizing in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that. The Catholics are wrong in doing that. Anybody else that does it is wrong. It said, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't call names three times. It uses it one time. It uses it, as we would say, a name singular. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And not in the names of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Or not in the name of, in the name of, in the name of. He said, all is given to me. Therefore go, therefore, baptizing in this name. And Peter and them knew that the scripture taught that a son shall be born. The prophet said that. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. This is why when Jesus came, he said, I come in my Father's name. Go you therefore baptizing in the name of the Father. I come in my Father's name. Why? Because it said his name, whose name? The Son's name shall be called Everlasting Father. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if he said, I come in my Father's name, it simply meant that he come in the name of God or whatever name God had. It simply did not mean that. Because it said, I come in my Father's name. And then it turns around and says, according to the prophecy, his name, who? A son's name, shall be called Everlasting Father. And what was the son's name? Jesus. Jesus, the son's name, which is Jesus. For the Bible said, a son to us is given, and his name shall be called Jesus. The Father said, by the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, through the prophets, a son shall be born, and his name, Jesus, shall be the name of the Father. That's what he said. Now you put it together and see if that's the way it comes out. So he said, a son shall be born, and his name shall be called Jesus. Or I come in my Father's name. Then again, he says, when the Holy Ghost comes, Jesus said, now I'm going to go away. I'm going to send you a comforter. And after I'm departed from you, he'll come to you. He'll be a consolation. Christ within you, the hope of glory. He'll be on the inside of you. That's what the Holy Ghost is Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Word, and then the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost. If you speak against him, you can't never get saved. You're eternally damned, because that's the only means of salvation, is the Spirit of truth. So he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, that is when the Spirit of the Word has come, he'll testify of me, the Word. Or when my Spirit is returned in your heart, he will testify of me. For what could a person's spirit testify of other than that life that they had lived in a human body? If Brother Taylor's spirit returned back to me, then his spirit would always talk about Brother Taylor. See, because it's Brother Taylor's spirit. Isn't that right? The Holy Ghost is Christ's spirit. When he comes, he will testify of me. You understand what I'm saying? God's spirit and Jesus testified of God. When the spirit of Jesus come back, it testified of Jesus. You say, well, how's that? Because Jesus was God. Somebody said, what can we do, good master? He said, why callest thou me good? There's none but good but God. Or that is to say, you call me good because you know that I was God. Because there ain't nobody else good. So then, when the Holy Ghost returns, he will come in my name. He will testify of me. He will come in my name. He will testify of me.
So we see here, if the Father's name is Jesus, then he said when the Holy Ghost comes back, he's going to come in the name of Jesus. I challenge you tonight to try to do anything in getting anybody healed or do anything else in any other name and see if it works. The Holy Ghost won't work in no other name. But you call the name of Jesus and he will. He'll work. When he comes, he'll come in my name. So we see the Holy Ghost's name is Jesus. Why wouldn't it be Jesus? That's the Spirit of Christ. And Christ is the life of the body of Jesus. That's the only name that he had. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I bow my knees to the Father. The Father. His name. What is his name? The Son's name. That's what the prophet said. I bow my knees to the Father, whose name is Jesus. And all of everything in heaven and in earth is named. You say, well, how can that be? Because the Bible said in the fullness of time, God would gather all things in heaven and earth into the body of Jesus. He did it at Calvary. He doesn't look at anything in heaven or in earth except through the name Jesus. We're called Christians or Christ. We're named according to the family name. So then, it's not you living, you've lost your identity, it is Jesus living. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, members of his body in particular. Now, when the Holy Ghost or the Spirit comes, he will come in my name. And he will testify of me. Now see, that settles the Holy Ghost's name and the Father's name. No way to deny that. And then when it comes to Jesus' name, all of us readily knows the Son's name is Jesus. A son shall be born, Emmanuel, God with you. That proves it was the Father. Beginning, the Word came forth, put on flesh. In the beginning was God the Word. He came forth and became a human body, dwelt among us. The divine conception of the Virgin Mary, God. The Holy Ghost, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would have to be that way. The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. How then can God be his Father? Because the Holy Ghost and God is one and the same. If Christ is the same, then that means the body is the same. Because the divine conception was that the Word was made flesh, or human flesh became spirit or life. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. How then were you baptized under John's baptism? No salvation in it. No salvation in that. He said, John baptized with water under repentance, saying, believe on the name in which there's salvation. And the Bible said, concerning this name, Matthew 28, go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All 11 of them immediately went one Sabbath day's journey from the Mount of Olives, went right over to Jerusalem, tarried till they were filled with the Holy Ghost so they couldn't make a mistake about it. Got out there, Peter preached the sermon, and they said, what must we do? He said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost, because that's what he told us to do in Matthew 11. Now, you know he didn't say that. Well, why do they do that then? He had the keys to the kingdom. He did say, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because he told us to do this. Isn't that right? But he preached it like this, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and unto as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call, even the Pope. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And it's unto you And under every one of the apostolic succession, including every pope, to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And it's under every Assembly of God preacher and laity to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And it's under every Church of God preacher and laity to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And it's under every Episcopalian and every Church of Science. It is unto every preacher of the Mormon Church, all of their laity, what they call Christian Science, it is under their ministers and their laity. It is under the Baptist ministers and their laity, the Methodist ministers and their laity, the Episcopal Church and their laity, and every other church, it doesn't matter what it is unto the Jesus only or the Jesus name or the non-denominationals, all the revelational churches, or whatever they call themselves. Repent, every one of you, because I have the keys to the kingdom. I'm the one that opened the door, and I know there's no other way to get in, because he that gave me the keys gave it to me, because I said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, You've discovered the door. And I've opened the door, and there's salvation in none other name. You've got to go into the water through the door, the name. Because it is he that stands between heaven and earth. You can't get in any other way. You cannot get to the Spirit except by the name, or the Father except by the Son. And if you don't do that, you don't have his Spirit. There's no need of kidding yourself about it. You don't have his Spirit. Say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me I can't receive the Holy Ghost till I'm baptized in the name of Jesus? You can't receive the Holy Ghost till you believe on the name of Jesus. And if you believe on the name of Jesus, you will be baptized in the name of Jesus. And brother, if you don't be baptized in the name of Jesus when the gospel is preached to you, you didn't believe on the name of Jesus. You made believe, and you thought you believed on the name of Jesus. That's why I was baptized in the name of Jesus. I received the Holy Ghost before I was ever baptized in the name of Jesus. But I believed on the name of Jesus. When I heard the word of God that said be baptized in his name, I was baptized just like that in his name. Because though it was later that I heard it, yet that same Holy Ghost, the Bible said he will guide you into all truth and righteousness. And he guided me right into it. At Cornelius, they received the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell on them as Peter preached. And he said, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost, not just fall on them, as well as we, who can forbid water that they should not be baptized? And they were baptized in the name of Jesus. So I say again, it is necessary, even if you have the Holy Ghost, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you will be baptized in Jesus' name. All right, now, somebody said, well, I got the Holy Ghost and I'm just going to show you, you know, and I just be one of them who won't be baptized. No, you just, oh, what you did, you got a brainstorm and thought you had the Holy Ghost. You might have been in the rain and felt the Holy Ghost. And you might have spoken tongues and you might have danced and shouted, but that don't prove a thing. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and righteousness. And John said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness when he was baptizing. So that's part of righteousness. All right, so then if you rebel against that, you rebel against the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost won't live in a temple that rebels against him, because the Bible said God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. And when you don't obey the Word, you don't obey him, because in the beginning was the Word, and he is still the Word to every generation. To obey the Word is to obey him. He that God sendeth, speak God's Word, you must believe that. Let me say a few more things here, and we'll close this out. Now, unto you and your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The 19th chapter of Acts, they did it. The 8th chapter of Acts, they did it. The 10th chapter of Acts, they did it. And the 2nd chapter of Acts, they did it. All was baptism in Jesus' name. There's no other place in the Bible where they baptize any other way except, as I've said before, coming from Egypt to Canaan by way of the wilderness. They went over the Red Sea and were baptized into the water in the Red Sea unto Moses, the prophet, like unto Jesus. That is the one that was pointing to Jesus. All he was doing was like the baptism of repentance of John, pointing to Jesus. They were baptized in the cloud, which signified the Holy Ghost. Because the cloud both was white and red, which meant fire and spirit. And the baptism in water was taken care of by the Red Sea. So then you've got a symbol there of Calvary, a symbol of the crossing of the Jordan, of the grave, and of the Spirit, fire baptism, all water, blood, and spirit, pointing to Jesus. And John pointed to Jesus. Everything was in the name of Jesus. Folks, there's nothing that you can get from God unless it's in the name of Jesus. How do you believe that? You need to try to work a miracle unless you do it in the name of Jesus. You need not try to get salvation unless you do it in the name of Jesus. You need not ask God for your health or blessing or prosperity or business or anything that you want, anything you desire. Everything is in the name of Jesus. You don't get anything if you shirk the name of Jesus or bypass it. So then, the 19th chapter of Acts, have you been baptized? They said, in water, but we've not received the Spirit. So he said, then you must go down in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the Spirit. They were baptized in the name of Jesus, and thus they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And today, if anybody in our age wants to have Christianity, they have to come the same way. God does not have two or three ways. A lot of folks say, well, I don't think the doctor could do it, the president could do it, the movie stars are too important, and they're too busy, and they can't get around to that, and them kind of things. But God himself, that created heaven and earth, made a human body, stepped down into the earth, and went down to a muddy river, and took time from all of his work and all of his greatness to go down in a muddy Jordan, so that nobody could stand before him in the day of the judgment and feel so important that they couldn't take time to go be baptized. So then we see, folks, that it's just an open and a shut case, as we say. I mean, there's no way to get around it. Remission of sin is in the name of Jesus. I hope that Brother Billy understands what I'm saying here now in this, because this was what Paul was saying. You've been baptized, but you don't have salvation. You're a believer, maybe Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, could be in a Jesus name church, a believer, but you still don't have salvation, brother, sister, until you get the seal of your faith. God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision, which was a seal of his faith. And you don't have the real faith of God unless there's a seal following. If you don't get the seal, it's positive proof that you did not get the faith of Christ. See, the sign of circumcision, if you don't get the seal, like I said concerning the kings of the Old Testament, you gotta have a ring. They had a signet ring. If they wrote an epistle or whatever, they stamped that thing. If that decree went out, if it didn't have the seal of the king on it, it was not official. The Bible said we are an epistle known and read of all men. If you don't have the seal upon you, the seal of the circumcision of the heart, that is, taking away the veil of the flesh, the circumcision of the heart, taking out the heart of stone, placing within you the heart of flesh. When he says the heart of stone, that is law, Moses, doing away with the veil that was over his face. Placing within you the heart of flesh means bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In other words, flesh means tenderness. Stone, that's taken out the law. That means death. The stone is rolled away, putting within you the heart of flesh, which makes you his flesh. All right, how many of you understand what I'm saying? You feel like you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Well, we could elaborate a little bit more on it, but I wanted to see what the brother was saying right here, Brother Vince. Okay, it sounds like you got convinced. All right, that's good, brother. Okay, that's good. That's good, all right. That's good. I'm really glad to hear that. But we'll try to get a baptism right away. Now, let me just say a few more words and then we'll close tonight, because we ain't going to have time to take another question. I get started on one. It's so beautiful, you just go on and on and on. But let me just comment, since we're not going to have another question, we're just going to have a few more words here. Just let me say a few more words. If you will let God take out the heart of stone. Let him take out the heart of stone. I say again, that means the law that brings condemnation and death. The heart of stone, because God engraved it in stones on the mountain. That means you are delivered from the law, the stone, death. You're delivered from that. And let him place within you the heart of flesh. That is, you're made bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Put within you the heart of flesh. That is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then, becoming the body of Jesus, the heart of flesh, you're free from the law of sin and condemnation. Death is gone. The stone is rolled away. You have the newness of life. That is what baptism has to do with. When you go down into the water, it signifies the rending of the veil. When you come up out of the water, it indicates that the veil is taken away. It's no more. You have left the veil of your flesh, which relates to the stone. You've left it under the water. It went down into the water. If you'll read in the book of Revelation, you'll find out the angel took a stone like a millstone and threw it into the water and said, Babylon the great has fallen, has fallen, has fallen. That relates to the flesh. When it goes down into the water, that confusing flesh of Babylon, that old quibble of the human being or the beast part, that which relates to Babylon, that part back there, it's all gone. With Calvary, it's gone. And when you come up out of the water, it is the resurrection of life, because water indicates burial, and the stone being rolled away indicates the resurrection, in that if you go down into the water, then the man that's doing the baptizing, he baptizes you, he remits, he rolls the stone of heart of stone away. That leaves death and the veil and the law of condemnation behind. You come up in the newness of life, which means it is no longer you, the human body that went down, the beast part, the skin that covered you, but it is the revealed one, the circumcised one, or that is to say, the veil of the flesh gone. You're not under the veil of death anymore. You have come up out of the water and you are a new creature, and all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. There you are in the newness of life. In the Old Testament, the stone was used for the circumcision, which indicated the removing of the veil. And then when it comes up on this side, the new creature standing there in the newness of life, in that they are altogether a different person. They're altogether a different person. They are not in the same world. They're not in the same body. They are not the same creature. They are a new creature, a new world. They have left the world. They are in heaven. They have left the body. They're his body. They're in the angelic body. This is what it means. And even though you say, well, when I come up, I'm just the same as when I went down. Not in the sight of God. Never no more. Never. Brother, when you come up out of the water, that ended. You're never no more that way in the sight of God. Never. That finished it. Now you say, but Brother Pike, I was that way in the foreknowledge of God. You were that way in the foreknowledge of God. But the thing is, it has to be personified to you. It has to be brought to your life, to your body, to your heart, to your mind, that you're baptized into his death, having put on Christ. See, it's true that in the mind of God, you're predestinated. But the thing is, you're predestinated to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because the Bible said we're all predestinated in him. And I brought that out here one night in the teaching of predestination, of how that God has predestinated us in Christ. And when you see people that are not walking according to godliness, they are not in Christ. And they can holler about predestination all they want to unto salvation. But there is no such thing. Predestination is unto baptism in Jesus' name, or putting on Christ. All right. If everybody's heart is settled about it, let me ask, just before we dismiss, let me ask a question. Is there anybody that don't understand what I'm saying about baptism? Now, don't ask me another question, because we can't get to that. But is there something on what we said here that you don't understand? Maybe it's not clear. It's beautiful. We could go on and elaborate on it more and more and more. Has to do with the veil that was taken away from Rebecca. Has to do with the marriage. All right. Everybody's heart's clear. Good enough. You know, we're trying our best to be as simple, you know, as I know how to be in my explanations and my teachings. Try to be just as godly and holy, pure, virtuous, and be just as explicit as I know how. Taking my time. I do this quite a lot lately. Taking my time because some people are slow to thought and they just can't. Seems like that something can't get to their mind like it does others. They can't grasp as fast. And if you go real fast like that, then they miss it. You just got to take your time. Take your time and talk to them a little bit here and a little bit there. And the first news you know, they say, I got it. Like Vince a while ago. I got it. I believe he really did. I believe he saw that thing. And it's beautiful because when we all come together to speak the same thing, and I tell you again, brethren, there ain't no two or three baptisms. There's just one. There's just one. Can you be baptized with the baptism wherewith I'm baptized, Jesus said? Yes, sir. Certainly can, they said. He said, you will. If I'm his body, then I can. Isn't that right? There ain't but one baptism. Ain't but one baptism, and that's the one that Paul spoke of. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Speaking of Noah, them that escaped by water. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, that is, because he was baptized. Say, well, that's spirit baptism, that's part of it. Fire baptism, that's part of it. Water baptism, that's part of it. Water, blood, spirit, that is the baptism. Say, but that's three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Somebody said that's three. Bible said three and one. These three are one, it says. All right, let's everybody stand together. It just means one thing, brothers, sisters, that if there is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost operation of the great God head carrying out God's business, then that means that there is a Trinity operation. Whereas God in spirit does one part of it, God in body does another part of it. See, God the Father does the part above you. Paul said he is above you, he is in you, and he is through you. God the Father does that part that is above you. And God the Son does that part, Emmanuel, with you. Paul used in you. And God the Spirit does that part that Paul used the terms through you, which is really Christ within you, the hope of glory. So it's just one God and three manifestations of his work carrying out his work from Calvary in a dissected way to show us his greatness, to break his entirety down to us, to let us know that God is a spirit, but in that he hath created a world, that makes another part. And in that he hath created a human being, that makes another part. But that in reality, it's just one God spirit in all three operations. That's what it is. Satan has stole it away from God, so God let Calvary come to show the dissecting of it. The Jew, the Catholic, the Gentile. Three different people to show it. But really, it's just one big operation, God, the center of all of it. He's bringing it back together, but he just showed the dissecting at Calvary to show what the devil had done, where the problem had been. If Matthew 28 was not fulfilled in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and whereas the Bible said 3,000 was added unto the church, the first church, and God doesn't have but one church, it's all the same. The entrance in is Jesus. It was then, it is now, it'll always be.
I said, if Acts 2 isn't the fulfillment of Matthew 28, I challenge anybody anywhere in the world to show me where it was ever fulfilled. It absolutely was broken. If the second chapter of Acts was not the fulfillment of it, the apostolic leaders broke it, went contrary to it, and there is no place in the Bible where it was ever fulfilled. It was void and without meaning, because you cannot find any place where it was ever fulfilled. You show me one place in the Bible where they ever went and said, I baptize you according to Matthew 28 in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, other than in the book of Acts, in that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. Show me any other place where they call the word Father, the word Son, the word Holy Ghost in a baptism, and I'll admit that I'm wrong and confess that I'm mixed up. But brother, there is no such thing. There is no such thing. Nobody ever baptized like that in the Old Testament or the New Testament. They all baptized in the name of Jesus, speaking the same thing. Acts 10, Acts 19, Acts 8, Acts 2. All of it's the same. So that means one thing to us, that if we speak the same thing and we're added to the church and we follow the teachings of the Bible, the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We got to do the same thing they've done. And it certainly carried on over to the new city. Other foundations can no man lay except these that was laid by Jesus. He laid the apostolic foundation. It was the foundation. Let every man take heed how he build their own. That was the foundation of the church. 3,000 was added. Right there to the church after the foundation was laid that Jesus laid. Jesus picked them out himself. Nobody else didn't pick him 12 out. Went right on over there. And if you look in the book of Revelation, the names of the 12 apostles is in the foundation of the city, proving that the entire city is built on the foundation. So anything that don't fit the apostles' teaching is not part of the city. It's not stones of the city. The Bible said all that's without the gates is whoremongers, dogs, sorcerers, liars, and all these things. None of them don't come into the city. So I want to be a stone, don't you? That way you're accounted for as being in the city, in the wall. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. Such a beautiful, beautiful, simple, wonderful, lovable thing. We could say a lot about it. Shall be light in the evening time. I am going to say this much. It's like I was telling the priests. I said, you know what happened? 325 A.D. It's even in the libraries. The Nicene Council, it was changed. About 1,500 delegates present. It was changed. The apostolic leaders killed out. The spiritual ones that knew killed out. The others had no spiritual understanding, so they set it up in a natural thing. In the God of Baal, which means the God of the flesh. Their own intellectual human reasoning, which was the tree of knowledge. Because they didn't have a revelation from God. In that the Bible said the scriptures of no private interpretation, for it was written as men were moved upon by the Holy Ghost and must be interpreted the same way. And like I said to the priest, God said, thy worm Jacob, I will help thee. I will restore what the locust got, the cankerworm got, the years that the caterpillar got. That which the worm destroyed, I will restore. And he said, if you hold the bread over, it'll get wormy. You got to get fresh manna every day. When they lost the spirit 325 A.D., that meant that the hidden manna wasn't coming down, because the spirit is the hidden manna. So they tried to hold the bread over to give bread to the children, which was the word of God. Said, my word is meat indeed. My body is meat, bread, the bread of life. They tried to hold it over. And they had in the church, the Catholic Church, what they call the Council of Worms. And that's what happened to the bread. The worms got in it. And when Martin Luther defied the Council of Worms, over about 1,500
When he defied the council of worms and nailed his thesis on the door, he left the wormy bread, saying, "The just shall live by faith." Got to have new manna, and the only way to get it is by faith. And brethren, the dark age set in during all that time that the worm was working, because he went into his cocoon. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Over here on this side is a lovely butterfly flying around. This heavenly glorified creature. He believes in them heavenly places. And here we are on this side of Jordan. Beautiful, beautiful. What a beautiful experience. Butterflies love the light. So then we're over here in the world of light. The evening time is here and the light has come. The light has come. Ye are the light of the world. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The return of the apostolic church. Even the Catholics call it the apostolic succession. They know the apostolic doctrine is the only right way. The ones that branched off from them, all these Protestant churches, whereas Protestant protesting against, coming from Martin Luther, all of them needs to line up even better with the Catholic Church. At least to believe it's apostolic. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Ain't you glad you know the truth? The truth will make you free. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't know what to believe. They're saying so many different things." But we know what to believe, don't we? We know what to believe. Believe the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Do you know what to believe tonight? Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it one more time, can you? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Now's the time to know the truth and be set free. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Let's just bow our heads together. I hope the things that we say from night to night can find a lodging place within your heart, and that you'll believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? The word of truth that we've spoken unto you. Believe on it, and thou shalt be saved. For salvation is in none other name. None other name. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, "He that is born of water and of the Spirit, he shall enter into the kingdom of God. But lest a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. The like figure one do baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Doesn't matter how good you try to live. Doesn't have a thing to do with it. God purifies our hearts by faith. Shut up under the law until the faith afterwards should be revealed, which is in Christ Jesus. That faith by which you're sanctified. And today we're living in that day. And that faith is here. Therefore the faith of Christ is what we're after. To be one with Him. To lose our identity in death. To be baptized into Him in His body. To take on His life that it might be Him in the resurrection. To live in the presence of the Father. And that it might be you that died because of sin. Him being made your sin. To die out of the presence of the Father. That He might not see your sinful image anymore. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful experience. I'm going to ask Brother Richard the Jew to come up here if he will. And dismiss us tonight.
and a word of prayer. You know, there's one thing about the Jews. You're never going to give them three gods, that's for sure. They know that the Bible tells them in the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, thy God is one God, and Him only shall you serve. I shall love Him with all the heart, mind, soul, and body." When they had the contest in the days of Elijah, the God of Baal was proven to be of no value. And when the fire came down from heaven, swept up everything around the altar, the people screamed out these words, read it in your Bible, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord God." While you've got your heads bowed, Brother Rich is going to come. Just remember one thing, the rapture's on its way, as the world uses the terms. God is a consuming fire. He'll come down around the altar. He'll pick us up and take us away with Him, providing we believe that the Lord, He is the God. He is the only one that'll answer a fire. The others can shout, dance, scream, have their programs and parties and whatever, their formalities, but God will never answer by fire. But this evening time sacrifice will bring an answer by fire to the Elijah church, saying, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God."